With SRN News, I'm John Scott. On Capitol Hill, Attorney General William Barr says there is one standard of justice without regard to politics.
I can tell you that I've handled criminal matters that have come to me for decision in this way. The president has not attempted to interfere in these decisions. On the contrary, he has told me from the start that he expects me to exercise my independent judgment to make whatever call I think is right, and that is precisely what I've done.
Speaking before the House Judiciary Committee, Barr defended the Justice Department and other controversies that have shadowed his tenure, including his handling of the investigation into Trump campaign ties to Russia, which he derisively refers to as the bogus Russiagate scandal. Also at SRNNews.com, Democrats and Republicans at odds over the next round of coronavirus funding. A Republican plan to reduce unemployment payments has sparked a war of words. Florida reporting more than 9,000 coronavirus cases, with a new daily high of 191 deaths. That brings the total caseload to nearly 442,000 and more than 6,100 confirmed deaths in that state. U.S. home prices grew more slowly in May, but continued to show resilience in the face of the outbreak.
The S&P CoreLogic Case-Shiller 20 City Home Price Index rose 3.7% in May from a year earlier. That's a drop from a 3.9% increase in April and a smaller gain than economists had expected. Still, home prices have risen steadily despite the pandemic and lockdowns that have badly damaged the American economy.
Correspondent Jeremy House reporting Phoenix led the way with a 9% annual gain in home prices, followed by Seattle and Tampa. Chicago registered the smallest increase, 1.3%. On Wall Street, the Dow is lower 45 points, but the S&P is up fractionally. This is SRN News.
For your Tuesday afternoon, partly sunny with a chance of showers, maybe some thunderstorms, high 89. Tonight, mostly cloudy with a chance of more scattered showers, low 77. Wednesday, mostly cloudy with a chance of showers and thunderstorms, high up to 86. Wednesday night, mostly cloudy, low 77. And Thursday, partly sunny with a chance of more showers and thunderstorms, high 92.
Heaven is a magnificent place, created by the creator of all creation. The creator of creativity has saved his best work until the last, and he is creating for us a place that is so phenomenal that I'm just so overwhelmed we don't talk about it more.
Join Dr. David Jeremiah for his series, Revealing the Mysteries of Heaven, next time on Turning Point.
Portions of this program may be pre-recorded.
Ignition sequence time.
6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0. All engines running. Commit. Liftoff.
Hey, welcome to SWAT Radio with Doug McCary of His Light Ministries. So happy you are listening today. I am Taylor Johnson, and if you'd like to join the discussion, please call us at 1-844-777-7928. That's 1-844-777-SWAT. Or you can email us at ask@swatradio.com. That's ask@swatradio.com. And if you are listening on the rewind on the podcast because you missed us live, you can also hit us up on Facebook and Twitter. At SWAT Radio Talk is the handle. That is at SWAT Radio Talk. So glad you are here today. A little bit later in the hour, we're going to have a special guest speaker or interviewer.
I'll tell you, he's been a guest on here a couple of times. By the way, if you're just tuning in, my name's Doug McCary, like Taylor said, and you're listening to SWAT, which stands for Spiritual Warriors Advancing Truth. That truth has a double meaning. Truth, Jesus says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life, and truth is the truth of God's word also. And, you know, before the program, Taylor and I were talking about some of the things that are happening in our world that related to truth. We don't know what truth is. Mm. You got doctors that are in front of the Capitol making a video that gets viral and seen by people on YouTube and Facebook that's taken down because these organizations claim that it's false.
Yeah.
But they're the ones making the call.
Yeah, well, they claimed it was false. They said those were not real doctors. And this is a congressman who put this together, this press conference together, and they just take it down.
Yeah, they took it down. Now, I have been told by a friend of mine, he made a copy on his phone. He's going to send it to me. Mm. But basically what these doctors say, they call themselves America's Frontline Doctors. And by the way, if you're just tuning in and you're going, wait a minute, Spiritual Warriors Advancing Truth, why are we talking about public or current events? Well, one of the things that we do here during the first segment of our program is this program is about discipleship and God's Word. And God's Word and discipleship is life on life. And the practical, relevant application of God's Word to what's going on in our world is important. Especially now, we live in a very divided time in a country unlike none really like in history that has the freedom that we have to express ourselves. We have a constitution that protects our right to assemble, to protest, to assemble for worship without regards to whatever particular religion you want to practice. And so we basically take the first segment and we talk about what's going on in the news. And as believers, how should we be responding to it from a biblical perspective? And one of the concerning things for me, Taylor, is that as we look at a video that's taken down because people think it's false, they didn't make any evidentiary presentations to show that it was false.
Yeah.
They just took it down.
Yeah, they claimed that the doctors were not real doctors, but you know, you could go and verify that, yeah, in fact, they were. And it comes into question, like, why take that down when it was the news? It was basically news. So whether they thought it was true or not, it was a news organization and it was an interview set up by a congressman. So
it had 14 million views.
Yeah.
Now, again, I go back to Mark Zuckerberg. Mm. And whoever the CEO is of YouTube, whoever, I don't know if Twitter owns that now or what. I don't know if they own that.
I think Google
owns it. But both Twitter, Google, and Facebook are basically monopolies on information right now.
Yeah.
And so you need to understand that if you are a believer living in our world, most of you use one of those forms or your people around you are affected by that. And that's really important to know that the people that run those platforms do not share the same biblical values you do.
Yep.
So the way they police those social platforms is based on their value system, not a biblical value system. Mm-hmm. And so, one, I don't trust them. I just don't trust them.
Yeah.
And I thank God that he is sovereign over all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Because somehow when people try to do things to inhibit truth, he has a way of bringing truth out.
Yeah.
There's a story in the Bible in the Old Testament about a king who was captured. I think it was Joshua who killed him. And he cut his thumbs and his toes off, his big toe and his thumbs. And I'm going, that's kind of strange. But then that king says in response, I'm paying a price because he had done that to so many other kings.
Oh, wow.
And people he had conquered. So, you know, God has a way of getting things done. And you can't run from his truth. It's God's truth. It's not your truth. It's not our subjective truth. Truth is truth. And so if these people are doctors and if they really are being honest, the truth's going to come out eventually because you can't. That's the thing. I used to tell people all the time, you know, when you were in the FBI and you were interviewing people, you would be able to tell when people are lying because they can't remember their lies. Mm. It's not hard to remember truth.
Right.
It's hard to make up lies as you're going and then cover those lies. And so you've got a bunch of people on these social media platforms that are really overseeing people like you and me posting stuff. And for most of us, they're not going to mess with us.
Yeah.
Unless we post something that goes viral like this particular video did. But what was interesting about this particular thing is these doctors were talking about the mask, the stay-at-home order, and the fact that there was no scientific basis that the average American should really be concerned about COVID-19. Not that they can't get it and get sick from it, mm-hmm. but that 99.98% are going to survive it.
Yeah.
And if you look throughout our history, and you and I were talking yesterday, even back in the Spanish flu, they were playing baseball, they mm-hmm. were doing sports, they were doing things in our country back then when the medical community was far less prepared for something than they are now.
Yeah.
So, again, if you look at what Pastor John MacArthur out in California said last Friday, this has been weaponized by politicians who are using it and trying to politicize everything related to it. They've created fear. And we, within the Christian community, have fallen into the idols of fear mm-hmm. and not doing what God has called us to do. It was okay for a while, but now they're talking about going on indefinitely.
Yeah, I saw something today that it was someone who's making a vaccine was saying that, well, even if if people get the vaccine, they're still going to have to wear masks and social distance. So it's like, well, okay, what's the point? First, what's the point of the vaccine? But two, so you're saying this is going to go on forever.
That's right.
You know,
and the thing that strikes me about them removing this video, this is not a violent video.
Yeah.
Do you think that every video right now on YouTube and Facebook that is clear of misinformation? You think people right. aren't lying on videos there now
yeah.
to sell you products?
Mm-hmm.
There's lots of misinformation where people are taken advantage of every day. But this serves a political purpose.
Yep.
And we as believers need to be wise. We need to be wise as serpents, harmless as doves. Contact your congressmen. Contact your senators. Tell them, please rein in these social media people, because we have a voice in this country to do that. Other countries, they don't have those choices. In China, the government controls the internet. Yeah. They have no ability to influence that. But you, if you're listening, you have an ability today to call your congressman or email your congressman and to say, please rein in Facebook and other social media platforms from minimizing and censoring speech. I mean, there was nothing derogatory in this. It was only these doctors sharing their opinion and what they deemed, they being the leaders of Facebook and YouTube, deemed inappropriate, they took off. In fact, we had Congressman John Rutherford on here a few months ago just sharing his testimony. He was simply sharing how God brought him into his family. And I tried to repost it on Facebook, and they would not repost it because it was a political person.
Yeah.
And they said, this violates our political policy. And I'm like, what? Are you kidding me? Just because he is a congressman, he's talking about his faith. So anyway, write your congressman, do your duty as a citizen, and use your voice where you can. Listen, we do not place our faith in 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue or the Capitol or the congressman. Our faith is in God, but he has put us in a country where we can freely exercise the right to contact and be represented by our representatives in government. And we can influence things like that if we will let our voice be heard. So,
yeah, I agree with you. And if you're somebody who is, for limited government and you're like, oh, I don't want the government to break up a private corporation. Well, you know, these corporations have been given the privileges of platforms, but have been acting like publishers. So if you just call your congressman and say, you know what, you need to hold them to the same standard that you would hold a publication. That's one way to go about doing that. And, you know, I think it's something that needs to be done, because when the truth is being hindered from getting out, or even just people's free speech have been knocked down, I would say we should stand up and make sure that happens, because without having free speech, you know, speech goes underground, and then you can't find the truth as easily. So we will be back with more after the break. You can download our SWAT app in the App Store. Stay tuned.
If you'd like to contact SWAT Radio, the toll-free number is 1-844-777-7928. That's 844-777-7928 or 844-777-SWAT. You can also listen to this program through the WTRJ The Truth app from the App Store or over the Internet by accessing www.swatradio.com. We'll be back shortly for further discussion and to take your calls. Highway to Eternity Ministries is a ministry dedicated to encouraging those who have lost hope and coming alongside those who cannot find peace and are considered unfit for inclusion in Christ's church. They use published works to teach God's word and share encouraging testimonies of transformed lives. Highway to Eternity Ministries serves as a parachurch ministry that comes alongside churches to share its passion and commitment through spiritual writings, nuances, and experiences to everyone who has an interest in the teachings of Jesus Christ. For more information, contact Jeff Andrews at 904-436-5175.
There is good news for the captive, good news for the shame. There is good news for the world who walked away. There is good news for the doubter, the one religion failed. For the good Lord has come to seek and save. He's our rescuer.
That is Ren Collective with Rescuer. Welcome back to SWAT Radio. SWAT stands for Spiritual Warriors Advancing Truth. And with that in mind, if you're just joining us, the last segment, we talked about the truth and standing for the truth. If you missed that, go back and listen.
Yeah, no, I'm glad that you're listening today. Hey, we've got Phil Johnson, who is the Executive Director of Grace to You. He's been with John MacArthur back since 1981, almost 30. Gosh, that's a long time, Phil. Almost 40 years, and edits most of his books. He also had a website called, still has, the Spurgeon Archive, the Hall of Church History, and the Pyromaniacs blog. He's an elder and pastor at Grace Community Church. The husband of Darlene. They have 3 children and 7 grandchildren. And Phil, let me just first of all thank you for being an elder at Grace Church who took a stand, and we stand with you, brother.
Hey, thank you. Thanks.
That if you're just tuning in, Grace Church in California this past weekend opened its doors against state orders. The elders laid out a biblical case for the church's duty to remain open. And you can go to their website, gracechurch.org, and click on a statement from the elders and sign with them, stand in support. I've already talked to a couple of pastors, Phil, that have done that. Can you just take a moment to share with us why you guys chose at this point to do it? I know why, because I've read it, but I want our listeners to hear from you why you guys chose at this point to take this stand in defiance of that state order to remain shut.
Yeah, in fact, I'll give you a little background, too, that's not in the document. Our people had sort of more or less spontaneously begun returning to church 4 or 5 weeks ago. And it started with a group of maybe 400 that showed up, and then every week that group got larger and larger. In California, they had asked churches to join the quarantine. In the beginning, when we didn't know how serious the virus was, how significant the death toll might become, they were predicting, people dying in the millions.
Yeah.
We decided maybe the right thing to do would be to go ahead with the quarantine. So we did that, and there's a radio station playing in my ear.
Oh, okay. Hold on just a second. Hey, Steve.
Can you hear that?
Steve, he's got music. Is that is the music still there, Phil?
Yeah, no, that's gone now.
Okay. All right. Sorry about that.
Sorry, I was good with the music when the guy started talking.
So there you go. Sorry about that.
Anyway, at the beginning of the quarantine, it wasn't clear how serious the thing was. So our elders said, out of an abundance of caution, we'll go along with it. They were talking, you remember the phrase was 15 days to flatten the curve. We just need 15 days. 15 days became 30. 30 became 2 months, 3 months, 4 months. California lifted the ban on churches, sort of. They allowed, a certain number of people to come. I think the limit was 100, but like I said, our people started to come 400 at a time, and it just grew from there. But then the California governor reinstituted the ban and closed churches and closed some other businesses and said he was going to keep this quarantine in effect indefinitely. So there was no light at the end of the tunnel, no hope of reopening. They even canceled the Rose Parade in Pasadena, which sort of is a clue that they're expecting this thing to go into next year. And meanwhile, the number of people dying is declining. Doctors are saying they are able to treat this disease. If you get it, there's a 99.9% chance you're going to survive. And the only people that are really threatened by it are people who are very old and have other health problems. And so we thought we can accommodate that without closing the church completely. But then the government stepped in and said, no, you can't do this. And so that forced us to sort of rethink things, because people were coming. By then, we had maybe 1,000 people in the congregation. And we thought we really need to rethink what we're doing. And so we wrote up this statement, which basically says, look, in Scripture, you see three sort of institutions that the Lord himself ordained: the family, the church, and the government. And they each have their own realm of authority, and they can't intrude on each other. Like, I'm the father of my children, but that doesn't give me the right to punish other people's children.
Mm-hmm.
Or to make decisions that are really in the purview of the government, and all of that. The church doesn't have authority to wield the sword against evildoers. And by the same token, the government doesn't really have any authority to tell churches how, when, and whether they can worship. And so we said, in light of all that, given the command in Hebrews 10:25, which says, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together, we must obey God rather than men. And so we put out that position paper, basically announcing to the church, we are going to meet, regardless of what the governor wants and regardless of what, the rules they're trying to impose on us to keep the church closed. We cannot stop meeting. It's part of the duty of the church. Fellowship, koinonia, is in the New Testament the heart of church activity.
Yeah.
And we're commanded not to forsake it. Now, obviously, if you're sick or concerned about catching a disease, even, it's okay to suspend your attendance for a time. But when it threatens to drag on indefinitely, in this case, it's already gone on nearly 5 months,
mm-hmm.
it's just too long.
Yeah. Well, Phil.
The word quarantine actually comes from the same root as the word 40, because It dates back to like the Black Death and some of the medieval plagues. They would sequester someone who had been exposed and possibly infected for 40 days. That was the idea, keep them for 40 days, and if they're not sick, then they can resume normal life. We've already been in quarantine more than three times that long. It's just too long, given the circumstances and the reality of this virus. The streets are not filled with dead bodies like some of the early models predicted.
Well, I wanted to get you to comment on something because thank you, by the way, for you recommended Daryl Harrison. We had him on a few weeks ago, who did a great job for us on talking about the Black Lives Matter organization. And the only real negative stuff I saw about what y'all did was from Nine Marks and some people with Nine Marks. And I was a little concerned because they were out marching with BLM, and yet they're going to come down against you guys taking a stand. It just seemed inconsistent to me. And I wondered, have you had any interaction with them about this? Because I know you're active on social media, too.
Yes, I've written back and forth to them. And, you know, Mark Dever's a friend. I know him personally and have a great love for him. But I think on this they are being grossly inconsistent and inconsistent with what they have historically taught. They are the ones who've sort of held the line against multi-site churches. They don't really even approve of churches that have multiple services, like a first service and second service. They've often said that, you know, the whole church is the whole church. You must meet together. But in the wake of this, they've said, you know, they kind of think maybe it's a valid idea that the church stop meeting and start breaking up people into little home groups. That is what J.D. Greer, who's president of the Southern Baptist Convention, decided to do with his church. And in that article that they wrote, they specifically said they think that's a valid approach to dealing with the quarantine. It just seems to undermine everything they've ever taught about what constitutes a healthy church.
Yeah.
And that's been, of course, the theme of their ministry. That's what Nine Marks means. It comes from the title of Mark Dever's book, Nine Marks of a Healthy Church.
Well, one of the things that I appreciated about what you guys did was you took a stand and a bold stand, because I think idol has, I mean, we've made an idol out of fear in this pandemic. Would you weigh in on that? We got about a minute till we break for the news, minute and a half. But could you weigh in on that? Did that play any part in what y'all were talking about as elders?
Yeah, of course it did. I mean, Scripture's full of commands not to fear. Don't fear not, you know, don't give thought to tomorrow. And of course, Jesus isn't saying don't take reasonable care for things. But this, it seems to me, has quite clearly gone beyond that. And you turn on any news broadcast or anything from the mainstream media and even some of the cable outlets, and every bit of news about the coronavirus is designed to magnify the fear. They stack up all the death count and say the death toll went up again. Well, of course it went up. It's not going to go down. Every day more people die, but they're not dying in the extreme numbers that were originally predicted. And if it had been known what this virus would cause, I don't think anybody could have said, yes, it's justified to close down the entire economy, churches and all that. But politicians have their own agenda, and they are purposely trying to magnify the fear in this because it gives them a great deal of latitude to do what they want without the normal democratic process.
Well, hey, Phil, thank you for joining us. We got about 30 seconds. How can we pray for you going out?
Just pray that we'll stand strong and that the Lord will, you know, clear the path for us, that this won't cause any great difficulty, and that we can get back to being the church.
Well, hey, thank you. We are praying and we are standing with you. Thank you for joining us on SWAT Radio today, brother. All right.
Thanks for having me.
All right. Hey, that was Phil Johnson. Taylor, take it away.
All right. We will be back with more after the news. You're listening to SWAT Radio. Stay tuned. We will be right back.
WTRJ, Orange Park, Jacksonville. WAYL, St. Augustine. WATY, Folkston, Georgia. Online at ilovethetruth.com.
With SRN News, I'm John Scott. Attorney General William Barr has been defending the federal law enforcement response to civil unrest in America during a hearing before the House Judiciary Committee. In his opening statement, Barr said that violent rioters and anarchists have hijacked legitimate protest, ostensibly linked to George Floyd's death. That hearing on Capitol Hill is continuing. Air travel will take even longer than previously thought to return to pre-virus levels. The gloomy prediction from the Air Transport's Trade Association, the IATA. They're pushing their forecast back by a year to 2024. That's when they say travel will make it back to 2019 levels. The Miami Marlins schedule postponed through Sunday after 15 players tested positive for the coronavirus. The Dow is down 126 points. The NASDAQ off 95. This is SRN News.
There's some major delays on the west side because of a crash on Blanding Boulevard southbound at 103rd Street, blocking the left turn lane. Also, there's a crash on the west beltway on I-295 southbound at the ramp from Normandy Boulevard. And there's a broken down truck on 295 southbound at the Buckman Bridge. Mostly cloudy tonight, low 77. Wednesday, mostly cloudy with a chance of showers, high 86.
A ranger station.
I'd like to report a bear hug.
Okay.
I put out my campfire and Smokey Bear hugged me.
So you drowned the fire, you stirred it, drowned it again, and felt that it was cold?
Uh-huh.
Yep, he's just letting you know you did good.
Bear hug from Smokey Bear. Status update.
I'm gonna let you go now.
There are many ways to start a fire, but one sure way to put it out. Learn how you can do your part at SmokeyBear.com.
Sponsored by the U.S. Forest Service Ad Council and your state forester.
Push, I pull, go back and forth, finding myself. Pounding on a locked door, I try to make it out alone without your help. But I know I never win this war. I can never be, never be free without you. I can never be, never be me without you.
Welcome back to SWAT Radio. That is Freedom Hymn by Austin French. If you are just joining us, we're glad to have you. And in the past 30 minutes, we've had a pretty good show so far. If I do say so myself, we had an elder from Grace Community Church on. That's John MacArthur's church, to talk about his stance, the church's stance that they took this past Sunday. And he did a very good job of articulating the church's view and the elders' view. And if you would like to go back and give that a listen, you can do that on our SWAT app, which you can find in the App Store. Or you could also search SWAT Radio anywhere that you listen to your podcasts.
Yeah, I appreciated Phil coming on. I just wanted to have him share a little bit of what they were thinking as they did it. And what he said that I thought was interesting is the people were meeting already. They were coming.
Mm-hmm.
And that I've been in that sanctuary. You'll see it about 3,000 people. Mm. And he said they had 400 and then it grew from there. And then they were told not to meet.
Yeah.
And this thing's been going on for 4 months. And it was, if you listen to the message again, you can go to the website if you've got a smartphone or a device and listen to it. It's a gracechurch.org, G-R-A-C-E-church.org. And when you go to that site, go to the homepage, and it will tell you the statement from the elders, and it's Christ, not Caesar, is the head of the church. It's a biblical case for the church's duty to remain open. We are essential. Mm-hmm. Christians are essential. Followers of Jesus, called out ones, you are spiritual EMTs. The spiritual life of someone is more important than their physical life. Jesus always affirmed that.
Yep.
And we have got to be willing to stand for that and affirm that. You know, I think I've shared this before, Taylor. I was going into Winn-Dixie one day, and they said, oh, we're closed unless you're a first responder. And I said, I am. And they go, really? What do you do? I said, I'm a spiritual EMT. And they go, oh, okay, you can come in. Because we are spiritual EMTs. You have a responsibility as a follower of Jesus to be someone who loves your neighbor. And that means the best way you can love them is to share Christ with them. Yeah. There's no greater love for somebody than to bring them to Jesus and to bring them to Christ. And so, I you know, we missed this in the news. We didn't miss it. We just didn't talk about it. But I wanted to say something that our governor, Ron DeSantis, a lot of people don't like him because he's kept things open. It's become political.
Political, yeah.
But you know what? This is what he said. I think he said this. I don't know if it was yesterday, but he's urging hospitals to allow end-of-life visitors for patients. Mm-hmm. And I appreciate that, because one of the things that's really bothered me is they've been letting people die alone in a hospital. And, you know, he said he understands the effort to restrict visitors, but he's saying exceptions should be made for families if their loved one is dying.
Yeah.
Nobody should have to die alone.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they can protect people by putting protective gear on. They can put, they've got the protective gear now. But he said a lot of families are upset because they lose their loved ones and they can't even be with them.
Yeah.
And that's just,
I could not imagine if that was the case in my family. That's wrong.
And I do want to point out that in Jacksonville, Baptist Health, Mayo Clinic, St. Vincent's, and UF Health all have exceptions to their COVID visitations policies for end of life care.
Mm.
So kudos to those hospitals for doing that, because you know, that's a time that you need somebody to be with you and to help comfort you. Anyway, you know, this week we're taking a little departure from letters to the church to talk about Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, the apostles, as they dealt with overreaching government policy where they were. Now, keep in mind, Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they were brought into subjugation. They were slaves, basically, enslaved by the Babylonians, trained to serve the king. But they were then elevated because of the way God revealed himself through them, because of their witness and what they did. And Daniel was elevated to, I think, the number 2-3 position in all of Babylon.
Yeah, I think he ruled the satrap.
Yeah, he was really high up, and it made a lot of people angry. Mm-hmm. They didn't like that. But in Daniel chapter 6, I want to go there just to get us started, and then we're going to go back to 3. But in Daniel chapter 6, what happened is they had put out a thing that the only person you could pray to was Nebuchadnezzar, or not Nebuchadnezzar, Darius or Darius, depending upon how you pronounce it. And so they had convinced this successor or who was up there to Nebuchadnezzar that anyone who prayed to another god should be thrown into a den of lions. And so he made a decree. And when you make a decree in those cultures, you don't undo it.
Yeah.
It has to be carried out. And so John Calvin weighed in on what Daniel might have dealt with. And it's interesting. There were, you know, somebody did a cartoon and they had all these things. They had Daniel standing by the window where people could see him.
Mm.
And there was all these voices. The Torah doesn't say to pray 3 times with the open windows, because it doesn't.
Yeah.
this is not a good public witness. Mm. All these voices in the background. Submit to government authorities. Think of the people and think of your people and health, because lions bite. Jehovah worship isn't singled out. This really isn't persecution. But Daniel, it's only 30 days. It's temporary. Yeah. All these voices. And this is what John Calvin said. With respect to the profession of piety, it was necessary to testify before men his perseverance in the worship of God. For if he had altered his habits at all, it would have been a partial abjuration. He would not have said that he openly despised God to please Darius, but that very difference in his conduct would have been proof of defection. Mm. We know that God requires not only faith in the heart and the inward affection, but also the witness and the confession of our piety. Daniel, therefore, was obliged to persevere in the holy practice to which he was accustomed, unless he wished to be the very foulest apostate. In other words, he had to be true to who God had made Daniel to be. He was in the habit of praying with his windows open. Therefore, he continued in his usual course so that no one would object that he gratified his earthly king for a moment by omitting the worship of God. I wish this doctrine was now put on the hearts of all men as it ought to be, but this example of a prophet is derided by many, not perhaps openly and glaringly, but still clear. The prophet seems to them inconsiderate and simple. He incurs great danger rashly and without any necessity, for they so separate faith from its outward confession as to suppose it can remain entire, even if completely buried. And for the sake of avoiding the cross, they depart 100 times from its pure and sincere profession. We must maintain, therefore, not only the duty of offering to God the sacrifice of prayer in our hearts, but an open profession is also required. And thus the reality of our worship of God will be clear to those who watch us.
That's good.
Think about that.
That was a long time ago, too.
That was John Calvin, like in his lifetime. I mean, so this is a long time ago. But what he's saying is, Taylor, that's so important for us is the world is watching us.
Yeah.
And what do they see when they see the church? Do they see a convenient faith? Do they see a measured faith? Or do they see a faith that says, I'm going to get out of the boat and walk on the water?
Yeah.
Do they see a faith that says, I'm going to trust God? Because you know what? God throughout history has protected his people. Yes, there's going to be people of his that die. There's going to be people of his that lay down their life. But they willingly lay it down and they follow him. And what all the elders at Grace Community Church said is, listen, we know that this started off with concern, but it's been proven now only 0.02% of those that get the virus die from it.
Yep.
0.02. Now look at all the people that die from suicide, from smoking, from drinking, from heart disease, because they don't eat well. They eat terribly. They don't exercise. Yep. They don't take care of their bodies. We live in a culture that's preoccupied with fear, and we have played willingly into the hands of the enemy, I think, as he's squelched the witness of the church to say, we live by faith, we don't live by fear.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think that's a good point. And I really like what he was saying about if he had of just changed his habits just a little bit, that would be, you know, tantamount to placing the king over his God, you know, who is his king in his heart. And I think that's a pretty relevant thing for us, just to that's where our sole allegiance should be. And our first priority should be. And I think it's pretty cool that, you know, he stood and is like, you know, I'm not doing anything different. And his love for God was so strong that he was like, I don't care what it's going to cost me. You know what I mean?
Well, Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were all constantly put in positions that tested their faith. And they both saw that God uses those kind of times to put a spotlight on their trust in him.
Yeah. All right. We will be back with more after the break. You can follow us on Facebook and Twitter. At SWAT Radio Talk is the handle. That's at SWAT Radio Talk. Stay tuned.
This program has the potential to reach millions of men each week. If you'd like to learn how you can support this unique program that is helping men understand the truth about Jesus through God's Word and how to impact their lives and the lives of others, then go to www.swatradio.com. Then click on the donate link to help SWAT Radio pass on the truth for the next generation.
We're so grateful for having people like Tom Neal Truck Company sponsoring SWAT Radio. Tom Neal Truck Company is located at 417 Edgewood Avenue South in Jacksonville, Florida. Tom Neal is a full-service franchise truck dealer for Freightliner, Western Star, Volvo, Isuzu, and Sprinter vans, offering new and used truck sales, service, parts, and truck rental and leasing to the North Florida and South Georgia truck market. More information on Tom Neal Truck Company is located at www.tomneal.com. That's www.tomneal.com.
Why you ever chose me has always been a mystery. All my life I've been told I belong. Will all the other not quite? Will all the never get it right? But it turns out they're the ones you were looking for all this time. 'Cause I'm just a nobody trying to tell everybody all about somebody who saved my soul. Ever since you rescued me, you gave my heart a song to sing. I'm living for the world to see, nobody but Jesus. I'm living for the world to see, nobody but Jesus. Moses had stage fright, and David brought a rock to a sword fight. You picked 12 outsiders nobody would have chosen, and you changed the world. Well, the moral of the story is, everybody's got a purpose. So when I hear that devil start talking to me, saying, who do you think you are? I say, I'm just a nobody, trying to tell everybody all about somebody who saved my soul. Ever since you rescued me, you gave my heart a song to sing. I'm living for the
That is Nobody by Casting Crowns. Welcome back to SWAT Radio. If you would like to join the discussion, please call us at 1-844-777-7928. That's 1-844-777-SWAT. Or you can email us at ask@swatradio.com. That's ask@swatradio.com. And if you are just joining us, we were just talking about Daniel chapter 6, where he is given a command to cease praying. And anyone who didn't bow to the king would be thrown into the lion's den, and talking about his decision not to abide by that, and how if he had of just for 30 days changed his habits, that would have been tantamount to, you know, showing deference to the king rather than to God. So, and that's what we've been talking about. So if you want to talk about that, or if you have any questions about that, you can call us at 1-844-777-SWAT. That's 1-844-777-7928. Or you can email us at ask@swatradio.com. That's ask@swatradio.com. We would love to hear from you.
Well, you know, if you are not familiar with the book of Daniel, the first six chapters are historical. They're just history, and it basically is a narrative of what happened in Daniel's life, bringing out how Daniel got into Babylon, how he ascended in Babylon. Now, what's interesting is if you go over in the book of Matthew, chapter 2, and you read about magi, wise men bringing gifts from the east, the magi were the kingmakers. Mm. They trained the kings of the east. So the kings of Persia which basically is where Babylon was, they were the people that came to Jerusalem to worship the king, Jesus.
Yeah.
They were looking for a king to overthrow the Romans too at that time, back in Matthew 2. And I've made this statement before. I really believe that the legacy of Daniel and Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, or Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, was passed down through the wise men throughout time because they were magi. They were trained in being magi who were the kingmakers. Now, if you go to the book of Daniel, it starts off, it says, in the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah. Now, you read that and you might go, okay, Jehoiakim, what does that mean to me? Well, you have to go back. It's in a couple of places, but you can go back to 2 Kings. The book of Kings lays out the historical lineage of the kings in Israel. Why was that important? Saul was the first king. Mm-hmm. Then you had David, who replaced him. Why? Because God took the kingdom from Saul, and God made a promise to David that you will always have a son on the throne. So there was a lineage that then went through to all the kings. But the kingdom divided after Solomon, David's king, David's son, was king, and Jeroboam, who was a servant of Solomon's, became a king of part of the kingdom. It was divided into 10 tribes and 2 tribes. Judah and Benjamin were one part, and then the rest, the other 10 tribes, made up northern Israel. Well, that's important to understand that there were always kings on both sides. The kings of the north, who started with Jeroboam, they created Samaria a false temple to worship because they were afraid people would go pilgrimage back to Israel. And why am I giving you all this background? Because it's important for you to understand the flow of this stuff and what happens. But there was never a good king in Israel. Israel in the northern kingdom after Solomon, and when it divided, they always had bad kings. But the south, Judah and Benjamin, had good kings. Mm-hmm. And you can go and read about it. Well, the last good king was Josiah.
Yeah.
And Josiah found the book of the law in the temple and read it, and the people wept. And he and Josiah was a good king. He found the law, and he valued God's law. But Josiah, when he died, had a son named Jehoahaz who was appointed, but Jehoahaz got replaced by Egypt. They came in and they put this king named Jehoiakim, who was also Josiah's son, in power. So when you read in the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, Jehoiakim was the king of Judah because the king, by Pharaoh, came over and appointed him king. And so instead of being the rightful one, he replaced him because they had had some kind of alliance they had seized it. But then Nebuchadnezzar comes in and besieges it or surrounds Jerusalem and takes all the people out back to Babylon and wipes out the other people that are there. He left some poor people to work the fields for him.
Yeah.
But he took it over, and when he brought it back, he brought back Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, or Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, their Hebrew names. He brought them back to Babylon to train them to be wise men and in the ways of the Babylonians. And that's where the book of Daniel starts. Now, I want you to imagine for a second, first of all, you as a teenage person listening are taken away from this country. This is where you grew up, or whatever country you grew up in. And you're taken by a king that slaughtered all of your country people. You watched it.
Yeah.
And you were taken away by this king, and he says, okay, now you're going to work for me. I'm going to train you. You're going to eat my food, which is against your rules because your dietary laws, spiritually, you can't eat them. How would you feel? I mean, what would be going through your mind?
You probably feel pretty abandoned. You know what I mean? And I would imagine a lot of anger towards the people who took you.
You would be wondering, you know, why? Where's my God?
Yeah.
Right? Well, Daniel and his friends sat there and they resolved. This is what the word says. Literally, the word resolve there means this decision was placed on his heart. It was solid. Mm. He resolved that he would not defile himself in violation of Leviticus and Deuteronomy with the king's food or with the wine that he drank. And he asked the chief of the eunuchs, who kind of was their supervisor, hey, will you let us not eat this food? Can we just have water and vegetables? And it says that he did, and God gave him and his friends favor. And that's really the first chapter. And here's what he said that's interesting. Daniel says to this guy, test your servants for 10 days. Have you ever tested? Have you ever told somebody, you know what, test God? I remember I told a guy, I was talking to a guy, this is last year. I said, man, you ought to go to Israel with us. He said, you know, I don't have the money. I said, well, why don't you say that? Just ask God for it. Put him to the test. Say, God, if you want me to go on this trip, would you provide the $10,000 I need for me and my wife to go in a way that I don't know how it even happens? A week later, he sold a piece of property that had been on the market for a long time. And he goes, hey, guess what? And he ended up going to Israel.
Yeah, that's cool.
So the problem is we don't put ourselves out there to test God and see, and not test him in a bad way, but to say, God, I trust you. If you want this to happen, then provide for me. Show me what you want me to do. But Daniel, here's what's interesting. He said, listen, deal with your servants according to what you see. Daniel had faith in Almighty God. And that's why I've said this week, how big is your God that you serve?
Yeah.
Is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, is that your God? Because that's a big God. Yeah. That's not a small God. The problem is not about our faith. It's about the God that we serve and our faith. Mm-hmm. It's never about the amount of our faith. It's the object of our faith. And if it's in the one true and living God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God who is the king of the universe, then you have a connection to the most powerful force in the entire universe.
Yeah.
And so Daniel knew that. And it says, God gave them learning and skill in all literature and wisdom. They had understanding and visions and dreams. And the king spoke with them. Among all of them, none was like Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. They stood before the king, and he found them 10 times better than all the others. Mm. Now, that's just like God.
Yeah.
Isn't it? I love bragging on God because he's an awesome God. And if you're listening today, don't forget that our God can do anything he chooses to do. He's not limited. You don't have to fear COVID. You don't have to fear riots. You don't have to fear political action one way or the other. You trust in God and serve him. Let his word comfort and lead you and be wise as serpents and harmless as doves.
That's good stuff right there. Hope you guys enjoyed it and you come back for us tomorrow. Real quick, we want to give a special thanks to our sponsors, Ace Door and Window, and our sponsors, Tom Neal Trucking, as well as Jeff Andrews of Highway to Eternity Ministries. If you would like to sponsor the program, please email Doug@SWATradio.com. That's Doug@SWATradio.com. Or you can email me at Taylor@SWATradio.com. That's Taylor@SWATradio.com. You've been listening to SWAT Radio. If you missed any of this program or would like to listen to past programs, please visit www.SWATradio.com. That's www.SWATradio.com. Or listen to our podcast by searching SWAT Radio. You can also download our SWAT app in the App Store. Join us weekdays at 3 o'clock for more SWAT Radio. We'll see you then. Thanks for tuning in.
If you missed a SWAT Radio broadcast this week and would like to hear any show in its entirety, then go to SWATradio.com. Click on Past Shows, where you can listen to the broadcast. Also, if you're looking for a band of brothers that gather around God's Word to be a part of, then go to SWATradio.com and email one of our hosts
and they can get you plugged in to one of the local SWAT Bible studies. Tune in next time to explore how SWAT Radio is strengthening spiritual.
WTRJ, Orange Park, Jacksonville. WAYL, St. Augustine. WATY, Folkston, Georgia.